Welcome to Sparking Success with Aaron Opalewski. Aaron brings you conversations that spark innovation, cultivate leadership skills, and pave the way for your business success. In each episode, we delve into the dynamic world of business and leadership, exploring strategies, insights, and success stories that fuel your professional journey.
My name's EJ Swanson, and I'm your host here. And I am super thankful to be joined by my good friend, Aaron. Aaron, how you doing today, man?
Great, man. Putting the new digs together over the weekend, and it's looking good.
New digs, excited, meaning we're going to, we have a brand new studio for the podcast that's getting ready to go. And yeah, I'm super excited about that as well. Close. So it's getting real close. I'd say within the next probably two episodes that all you guys will see, we'll be over there and you'll be able to see what's happening at Bolt Creative Strategies. And as we do that, it's going to be awesome. You know, Aaron, today we're going to be talking a bit about sales mistakes, or mistakes that people who are doing sales, both internally and externally, make as they're connecting with customers, clients. And as we do that, we're going to turn this into a series, because there's more than just a mistake that over the years you've seen that can help people within their businesses. So tell us a little bit about what sparked this thought process for you as we dive into this series of episodes.
Well, you know, when I started out, you know, my career, you know, recruiting, right, but quickly to sales, and they're really kind of one and the same. The way I look at a recruiting company is like the recruiting side's the fulfillment, and then you got to prospect and generate like new business opportunities as well. And in my career, after about 90 days, I was doing, you know, both of those, right? Well, so I'm coming from the lens of I've been in that sales chair before, where it's like I know what is taught, what's focused on, what like within a context is right on who you should go after to talk to, but you got to understand the context and the situation. It's not just blindly necessarily that you go straight to the exact like top executive on everything, or business owner. So we're going to talk about that today as a sales mistake.
Yeah, and sometimes that can cause a ton of problems within organizations, both the organization that you're working for or opposite who you're serving within that. Yep. Now within the sales mistake there, you just referenced the aspect of going out of, I don't want to call it the chain of command. Is there a better word for that?
Well, you got to know the prospect and the situation. You got to have some acumen, you know, so you learn through making mistakes on this, right? Well, so use this, if you're in sales, starting out in sales, this is a great kind of tutorial on how to put some context, you know, behind this. So I don't know where you want to take it from.
No,
there.
I definitely
rip
do.
It, or I don't know if you have questions on specifically.
I have a couple within that. You know, obviously in our context, we're going through and we're talking with different hiring managers. Mm-hmm. We're talking with, sometimes we're talking straight to those who are in the C-suite, but most of all, we're working with another person specifically. And I remember when we were talking through kind of the process of this episode, or what it really looks like, you were mentioning the frustration that salespeople at times cause by just skipping that level.
Yeah, so here, let back up real quick. So I'll tell you about, so there's a book that I read early on in my sales career called Selling to Vito.
Okay.
And I can't remember who wrote it. I'm sure, you know, go Google it, you figure it out.
Right, right.
But it was a book about getting to the top decision maker.
Okay.
It's a good book, I like it, and that's one of the things that I was trained to do early in my career, was get to the top decision maker. And I'm not saying that's bad, or you don't want to build a relationship or make that call. But as you work through, like, let's say you get that call.
Yep.
And then they direct you, you know, that executive directs you with the person that champions that area. Like, this is where the mistake starts to come in.
Okay.
Is like, if you don't know, or you happen to get a hold of them and you make contact, great. If they'll work with you directly, awesome. But most executives, or most, you know, people that you want to talk to that have, you know, a big company or budget, or, you know, a big unit that they run, right? Section of a company. Well, if they don't handle that, they got someone that does. And their expectation is that person handles it, and they're paying them to do that for them because they're protecting their time.
Right.
So if I got a call like that, or if I set up someone to work with our person, like that's good. If someone got through and I found it of value, I'd set them up. You know, the mistake comes in is where, okay, there's a couple things that can happen here. You set that up. They're talking to them, right? And then they start coming back to you. No, work with that person.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you a couple other key things, and we'll take it wherever you want, or we'll keep it pretty short because it's pretty plain and simple, but it's very important. And you want to know where someone's acumen is in sales, see how they behave in these next couple areas that we're going to talk about. So they get me on the phone. They know me. I intro them to the right person, whatever it is, right? They're responsive to me. They're nice to me. They're wanting to take me to coffee or lunch or whatever. I don't got time for that.
Right.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I got other stuff to do.
Uh-huh.
If I am going to lunch, it's probably going to be with a client of ours or, you know, one of the people that I, you know, work with directly, or someone that maybe is like a step or two down, or a group of people like within that I don't get to talk to as much, and I want to invest some time in, you know, getting them out.
Yeah.
Not going for a coffee or lunch with the sales rep on, you know, something that we have someone in that area to make those decisions.
Right. That you've entrusted.
That I've entrusted.
Yep.
I'm paying.
Yep.
You know, and expect to champion that.
Yeah.
So when they're directed that way, the first thing on this would be when they're directed in that, like, I'll give someone a pass if they're trying to be assertive and aggressive and they happen to get through to me. Or, you know, we interacted. But once I set them up over there, I expect them to deal with that over there.
Right.
What I don't want to see is them jumping back to me or trying to jump back communications. That's one. Here's the second thing that I see within this. And here's a good principle to live by. Treat everybody how you want to be treated. You know, treat everybody the same.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to treat them different in that, like, hey, like, you might have different style conversations with people, talk about different things, but everyone deserves your respect, your intention. Like, if you're going to be assertive and prompt with me, you should be assertive and prompt with others, specifically if they're leading the area that you are wanting to sell a product or service to.
Yeah.
You're all kinds of dumb if you decide to not behave that way with the person that champions that. I'll get a little fired up on this because I see this happen quite a bit. They'll treat me really well.
Yep.
I've entrusted, empowered, believe in this person to run this area, care about them.
Yep. You
know, they probably do a good job. They probably know more about that area than me.
Right.
In some instances, and a lot of them. And they aren't as prompt. They're rude.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get, you know, back to emails. They're snippy with them.
Sure.
So two things there. If they are kind of just like recoiling back to me and wanting my time, it's like, well, where are you guys at with this? I haven't seen a proposal or what, or you don't like the answer or whatever it is. Okay, that. Or when I check in with my person, or if my person comes back to me in that area and they're telling me that they're not being responsive, they're being kind of a jerk to them or whatever, you've just shot yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
Just don't do that.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? You don't think that's going to get back to me? You want a clear line out the door and never in? Do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard, though. Just treat everybody with respect.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yep.
Follow directions.
Yeah.
Go above and beyond for that person and build a relationship or rapport with them. Because you might get in the door through me, but the decision on if you're going to be brought to the table is through them.
Mm-hmm.
It shows me the salesperson's acumen. It shows me about their values. It's showing me a lot. And so if I don't see good things on that, why would we use them?
Yeah.
Why would we do more business with them?
Right. And it's,
why wouldn't we at least look at other people and evaluate them? And when we find someone that lines up better with how they behave in those instances, guess what? We're probably going with that person. Even if they're priced a little bit more, we're still probably going with that because one of our core values is do the right thing.
Right.
Another one is find a way to deliver value.
Yep.
Another one is be people-driven and service-focused.
Yeah.
We don't really feel like you line up very well with our values. If you implement, if if you treat me one way, the second I see you mistreat one of our other people, I'm very protective of them.
That's right.
And man, you're just in a bad spot. Now we might give you some of that feedback, like, because, like, well, I don't know. It depends on the situation. But this is a big mistake, and it's not that hard to implement and do it right. It's just treat everybody well.
Yeah.
Go about it the same way that you would go about, you know, treat the janitor the same way that you treat the CEO.
Yep.
It's a good, that's a saying out there, right? And I think it holds true in this instance. Salesperson, understand who the actual decision maker on your product is, who's going to report back to the ultimate decision maker on what they think should happen. If they don't like you or you don't treat them well, what are you doing?
Yeah, and you know, Aaron, I there's been a number of times where, certainly outside of Spark, and I know this is part of what you're referencing here, is you've seen people get burned in the deal, in the sales deal, because they were given a very specific hierarchy of what process to follow. Maybe they had a relationship with that person in the C-suite or that type of thing, but they subverted it. They maybe got an answer, and then the CEO or the person in the C-suite gave that decision back to the person that they went around, and the deal completely flopped. I mean, I've seen it a dozen times. I'm sure you have hundreds of times.
Correct.
Yeah. And
that's why we're like, it's like, okay, like we're just going to do a talk on some of these.
It's kind of good, because I almost feel like you're saying, hey, there's been a number of people that you just lost our business. And I'm just going to tell you, the reason that you've lost our business is because you didn't rely on the people that I put in that position. Is that true?
I see it happen probably just as much as I see it done right.
Got it.
And it shows me a lot about the values,
yeah,
the acumen, and the maturity level of that salesperson.
Yeah.
And where they're at.
You know, you made a reference a few minutes ago in the aspect of, you know, that person above, let's just say another step up, or, you know, has been blessed with another position above. Their time is their most valuable commodity. So if they've referred someone else to handle that and you subvert them, you're doubling down on their time.
You're doing everything we just mentioned. And then here's another big component. There's a disrespect to the person's time that, you know, you ultimately want to build a relationship with this person that's higher up for whatever reason, probably because you think it's going to make you more money.
Okay.
Which in and of itself, if done properly and with the right intentions, is okay.
Yeah.
But you need to understand above all else the respect for their time. And when they have people set up to handle stuff, go to those people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if at some point the salesperson determines that the person that they're working with inversely isn't able to, you know, they're not being responsive or they don't know what they're doing, well, like they should probably suggest a meeting with every, like there's ways to do that right. That's generally not the case, and how I see it being deployed, it's more of the things that we talked about.
Got it. How else does this affect people that are selling a product or a service?
Well, I think it burns them more than they realize. You know, mm-hmm. So I just think at the end of the day that you end up either losing clients, not getting clients, you make less sales than you could if you just listened.
Got it.
And some of it comes to, and I just think back to my early days, I'm like, man, I got to get to that person. And still, like, we want to have those relationships. Like, I wasn't on the call today. You know, some of our team was on the call with someone that runs one of the private equity firms that we work with.
Got it.
And that's an awesome call to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been partnered with one of the companies that private equity firm owns.
Yep.
For the last couple of years. Great partner. Very grateful for that.
Yeah.
Well, we have a bunch of decision makers day to day that we interact with as it pertains to that company, right? And, you know, it's been years and we're kind of having this conversation now with the leader of the private equity firm. But if we were like years ago to go in and kind of like jump the communication,
it would have been premature.
would have been premature.
Yeah.
And I, the conversation, you know, at the head of the private equity firm level, from my, I wasn't in it again, but my understanding was more just a general overview of where we might be able to help in other areas that we're grateful. You know, I hope that it was mentioned that we're grateful for the partnership that we have. Excited to get any feedback or, you know, answer any questions that they might have and learn more about the overall portfolio of their companies to see where else we might be able to, you know, help across the country.
Right.
2.5-3 years before we had that conversation. And, you know, again, it wasn't probably on any directives on anything we're specifically doing right now that would have been disrespectful to that person's time.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's an internal example of something that just went off, just using an example of a conversation that's going on right now. And it's like, man, you want to be respectful of people's time and be talking about the right things with them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that if there's somebody who's in direct sales here, right, that is listening to this episode, there's a consistent downfall of skipping the channels that I hear you talking about. There's also the benefit because, like you said, sometimes that does lead to a bigger sale or, you know, those type of things if you do skip it. But the long game in this, it seems like when you skip the rungs, it just upsets people.
Well, see, it can. You know, again, it doesn't upset me if someone's aggressive with me.
Yeah.
But the right person does. I'm on the other side. No, no one can really upset me with that because I respect it because I've been, you know, that person. It's when a directive is given and you don't listen to that directive.
Okay.
If I say, yes, let me set you up with Ellie on our team. Or, hey, this happens a lot with, like, internal candidates.
Okay.
Which ultimately I talk to everybody, but I'm not on the front end of that. Well, I get a lot of messages because we post a lot and, you know, we're doing this. And, very appreciative of that.
Yep.
If I tried to field every one of those frontline calls, we'd fail miserably on how we show up for people that are interested, right? So when I get those, it goes straight to our person in internal recruiting.
Like
I do one of two things. I say, hey, you know, thanks for reaching out. You know, apply to one of our jobs, or hey, let me connect you with this person who runs internal recruiting for us.
Yeah,
and you know, I kind of kick it over. Well, same thing in sales situations. Like again, if I can tell it's an automated email, I don't even read it.
Right.
Let's say I read one and it's of interest or something. I'm going to pass it along to the appropriate person. How they kind of respond from there, like if they keep going with me, that's going to start to annoy me.
Yeah. You know,
if they listen and do the right things and they show that there's value in their service or product through that channel, and they follow up, they're very assertive with that person and they build some rapport with them. Cool. Like we're on the right track because they listened. They're still being assertive. They're treating that person the same way. They're showing some acumen and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
Like I'm giving them, again, if they show something of value, reaching out, like I'm going to give them what they would need to do to get set up.
Yeah.
So
is there ever value in asking? So if you are following the right, you know, the right sequence and as you're navigating that sales approach, is there ever an appropriate time to say or bring back in, hey, let's just take for instance, right? Like, let's say our internal recruiter here that you were just referencing, you passed off, her name was Judy, okay? And you said, hey, I'd love to talk to you more about a position or about this product or XYZ. I want you to follow up with Judy. That person does so. They're following the sequence. They follow up with Judy, and as they follow up with Judy, if I was a salesperson, is there ever a time to say, hey, let's loop Aaron back into that this? From your experience.
Were we talking sales or a candidate? Which one? A sales situation or a candidate?
Yeah, let's talk sales.
Okay. I mean, it depends. If they have reached out you're saying our person comes to me on it, or the
I'm the salesperson, right? Yeah. And I go to Judy, who you told me to work with. Mm-hmm. We're getting down the line. Things are going good.
Sure.
Do I ever ask to loop Aaron back in, or do I just let it naturally progress and let Judy ask that question?
Well, you probably want to do that, but set timelines with Judy.
Okay.
Right? What you may be able to do is, you know, we're just role-playing it here real quick, but, you know, this is weird because I'm like role-playing like to myself. But
sorry.
Like it's okay. You know, hey, Aaron, you know, I'm having good conversations with Judy. Here's where we're at. We have a follow-up on X date.
Yeah.
Or we're gonna talk on a proposal that I was just sent on X date. You know, look forward to talking to you. I hope that gets in front of you. I think there's a lot of value in
what like that, we put out. That's like the...
Or here's three key points that we put to her that I think are a ton of value. Look forward to talking with her then.
Okay, and if that was what came to you, you would feel good about that.
I'd be like, okay,
cool. Yeah.
They're being assertive.
Okay.
Because I didn't, in that role play, I didn't come back in and ask the decision. I'm just giving them an update.
Yeah.
Hey, quick update of what we going on. I'm sure they'll probably bring you up to speed too. I just wanted to say thank you for connecting us. Here's what we got going on. Send them over these three key things that I think are really important. And I don't know if you guys are going to touch on that or not, but I'm looking forward to talking with Judy in a week.
Yeah, there's such a difference there.
So a couple things. I'm being proactive about updating them that I've talked to their person. I'm thanking them again.
Yep.
You know, being appreciative.
Yep.
I'm being specific on, you know, if there's any key things. I'm not asking them for anything. I'm referencing that I'm going to talk with them at that time. And I kind of hit on what I, you know, think is valuable in regards to what we're doing, but not like trying to pull back into like, hey, you know.
I need you to make the decision. Yeah.
So.
That's great.
There's a little, you know, nuance to how you're going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you can, I think it's okay to over communicate, but if you're going to do that, be intentional about not trying to rob them of their time and be okay with no response.
Like, right.
I might not give that a.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I might not even respond to that.
Right.
But if I saw it, I'd be like, cool.
Yeah.
And I'd feel like, okay. You know, this person's, they're on it.
Yeah, they're on it. Yeah. Judy's on it, quote unquote. Yeah.
Like they're my kind of style person.
I like that.
So the person that doesn't, you know, behave that way, they just kind of kick some stuff over to them or miss their call with them and then follow up with me or like, dude, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got one right now. I won't name any names. They're listening. They're probably going to know I'm talking to them, but good. You need some feedback. So worked with this person a while ago.
Okay.
They left their company, went to a new one. Always had a good relationship with them. Mm-hmm. So they went on to a new venture and they asked me if they could have 15 minutes of time. Usually I would say no. Had a little soft spot in that, like, we've interacted, we had a relationship before we kind of had that person set up. Then once we got that set up person, they still kind of retain that, where like once a year, usually around our renewal, not really the best time, but that's when we would kind of like interact.
Yeah.
They'd come out, they'd want to go to dinner or something like that. Cool.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
Like, so he reaches out and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'll take 15 minutes out. And I found it in my calendar and we set it up.
Yep.
And he missed the call.
Mm.
And a couple of days went by and then he reached out to me for another call. And I'm like, well, what happened the other day? Because there's no follow up on missing it either.
Okay.
And I got like three or four excuses and, you know, normal life stuff.
Sure.
Okay with that. But where was the reach out? You just reach out again and ask for a meeting.
Yeah, there was no...
You didn't follow up with me and say, hey, you know, I'm so sorry that I missed the call time.
Right.
So he asked for a meeting. I said, no. I had just recently got a text from him again. As you know, there's a couple things going on. I didn't respond to the text.
Yeah.
There's no value of my time.
Right.
There's an abuse of it.
Mm-hmm.
So just got to be careful with that.
Yeah.
Stuff. So.
Yeah.
I'm very... You know, people that I look at as mentors or that I look up to, or some of the groups I've been involved with, like probably to a fault. Like, I'm so like, I don't ask for anything.
Yeah.
Because they get asked all day by, like, I know how, if I get asked, like, how I can only imagine. And so I never want to abuse that.
Yeah.
So I'm very much like, no, like, look, if they want something from me, or if I can help in some way, you know, maybe that conversation comes up, but I'm never going to be asking, right?
Because yeah,
they get probably hundreds of asks every day, and it's got to be draining.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I want to be respectful of their time. You know, if I'm with them in person or something like that, and I have, you know, 90 seconds, 5 minutes, whatever it is, to talk with them, like, we'll talk. But even then, like, I'm not going to probably ask them for anything. I might ask them a question, but I'm not going to, like, pitch them on a sales idea or something like that.
And, you know, I'm really thankful that you just said that, because, you know, the more and more I interact with you, the more and more I see how well networked you are, and how at the right times you're able to rely on those relationships. And I guarantee, now sitting on the other side of it, hearing you say that, the reason that your network continues to build and to build and to build is because you don't abuse that. I guarantee it. You're too humble to say it, and I'm thankful for that. But you know, these are the things that, it's not just sales mistake. This is life mistakes too. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes people just go around every other person, and it demolishes what they can bring to the table.
Yeah, I think one other thought on this too. Looking, we're about 30 minutes in or so.
Yeah.
But so something out, like, here's another piece of advice on this. Like, let's say there's certain instances and certain, like, levels of businesses where you might work with the business owner directly, or you might work with that head person.
Yep.
And you say you want these bigger accounts, these bigger relationships. Well, you got to, what we're talking about, we're giving you a blueprint on how to navigate this stuff.
Yeah.
So yes, it's great to build that relationship, and it's not that you can't necessarily build that relationship, but it's probably going to look different. Like, I'm not going to be out fishing with you or doing that. Like, no, I don't know. I'm here. I'm working on my businesses. I'm with my family. I'm working out. Like, those are the things I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm not going fishing. I'm probably not getting a cigar with you. I'm probably not, like, let's do what we got to do. Over time, maybe we'll get to do those things.
But right.
It's not early on in the relationship.
Yep.
I think that some salespeople that are working more with, like, a business owner that is still making all the decisions, like, you're able to set that up, and that becomes like a comfort zone for them, because it can be really effective, and it's great at a certain level. But once that entrepreneur, once that business owner, once that executive starts employing people, paying them, investing in them, believing in them, empowering them to run areas, the last thing that they want you to do is try and have you drag them back. They're out above that area doing other stuff, probably with a full plate. Mm-hmm. And the last thing they want you to do is drag them back into that. So that's like a nuance to this, is like, if you're kind of looking to expand your client base and work with bigger clients and, you know, different things, like, you got to think about that. That's part of what's changing. I don't know that everyone always does it, like, in a malicious manner. I think it gets malicious the second you start. I mean, I can teach my kindergarten daughter to treat everyone well.
Yeah.
And we can learn a lot from kids.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, the second you start mistreating other people, it's a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
But that's not what I'm talking about here, is that you think you're doing, like, I'm being aggressive, I'm being assertive, I'm just trying to get to the final decision. I get it, but you got to understand what the setup is. And once you get to a certain level of client and they have those people, like, the sooner you understand that, and, like, again, let's role play this again. I have no problem doing this on the spot, because I've
done it. You live by it. Yeah.
So let's say I'm trying to interact with a C-suite person. I know it's a high-level decision maker, but they're not making all the day-to-day decisions within, like, like a staffing component of business of a billion-dollar company.
Yeah.
Right? Let's say it's the CHO, Chief mm-hmm. Human Resources Officer, COO, okay. One of those high up roles that I know day to day isn't handling the staffing budget. They've right. got other stuff going on. So let's say I get the chance to interact with them at an event or something like that.
Yep.
I'm going to, one, just want to get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
The conversation's going well. Like, we're probably talking about what we do and all this stuff. If it's an area that we serve and support, I'm going to find my way to bring that up. But I'm not going to frame it in regards to like, hey, can you get me set up?
Yeah.
If the context of the conversation, the rhythm of the conversation brings me to a point where I'm feeling like, okay, like this is a good enough time to bring this up. Hey, we could help you on this. Who should I connect with at your organization?
Right.
I'm gonna show them the acumen that I know they don't do this day to day. I'm already gonna start to respect their time before I even come with my ask.
Right.
That would be pretty aggressive. Like, a lot of times, like, I've got less aggressive in the short term, looking at more the long term on some of those conversations that I'm in or when I meet people. I'm like, because you got to get to know people.
Yeah.
But if I were to do it, or if it was lining up, we're having really good conversations, we do a ton of placements in that area, we know it real well, we're working with other people across the country in that area, and I was going to bring it up, that's how I bring it up. EJ, if you were that COO, I'd say, EJ, man, you guys are running, X, Y, and Z in the EV market. We're doing that in, 20 different states for 15 different companies. Like, we can help you on these spots. Like, who should we connect with?
Yeah.
Like, who's the person we need to talk to from your organization? Let's see where it goes.
Yeah.
But I know it's not him.
Right.
I'm not going to say, EJ, when can we set up a meeting to discuss bringing us on as a supplier? Well, never, because I don't do that.
Right.
This person does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I hope
that's no. That's
I hope that
that's
helps. That's it's how you frame it.
It is like
so. You can be aggressive, but frame your questions the right way.
Yeah.
Show some acumen, and think about it before you do this stuff. If you don't, and you make mistakes, learn from them. You get in the door and you get pushed to a connection. Work with that connection. Update them. The way we talked about earlier, if you're going to do anything, don't come back asking for them for more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Work with the person they gave you.
Yeah.
If the person doesn't get back to you or tells you no or whatever, and you're going to follow up, maybe you get to the point where it's like, hey, here's the feedback I got. Like, I'm really passionate about working with you guys in the future. Like, here's what I was told. If there's any other feedback you could add to this, like, I'm all for learning.
Yeah.
So something like that.
Hmm.
So I know I did that in a situation where it was a big tier one.
Okay.
I think we are working with them actually right now in one of their locations, but they have like 100. So
there's still some more on the table.
But like, it was years ago before Spark even was a thing, right?
Yeah.
And I knew one of the VPs,
okay,
like personally, and I didn't have a lot of connections like that, but a family connection. And he got mm-hmm. me a meeting with somebody, and they didn't go with us, probably because we didn't have a national presence.
And okay.
I'm a 25-year-old. There's probably a lot of reasons.
Sure.
I thought I did good in the meeting. Probably clearly not good enough.
Yep.
But we didn't get it. And even though I wasn't quite as aware of this, like, one of the things that I did is go back to that person, and I didn't like pout or anything like that. Said, hey, like, we didn't get in. Like, here's, I didn't really get any reasons. Like, look, if you don't know, or like, I don't want to burden you with it, but I'd love to hear your thoughts or feedback on what we could do, because we'd love to have, I'm not going to say their name, but
right.
we'd love to have you guys as a client, and I'd love to learn what we can do if we're not there yet, what we could do to kind of build and be ready for that.
Wow.
So, and we've done that a lot. I just thought of another one that we just got in recently.
Because of that setup.
I don't know, but 5 years ago when we didn't get in, that we asked for that. We didn't get a response. They didn't give us any, but that was a little different. It was like more of an RFP setup, less personal.
Okay.
But still, any time that I can remember back, and like, it's like we didn't get something, and it's like they went with someone else instead of us on like a bigger program or whatever. Like, always trying to ask for feedback as to what we could do better.
Yeah.
So, but not come back and like pout that we didn't get it.
Okay.
if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
So that's another thing, because I've built my whole career that way. When you come back to me pouty,
yeah,
on it. So now you're coming back to me, like violating all this stuff, treating people poorly, all these things, you're making all these mistakes. Then you're going to come back to me and pout about it,
mm-hmm,
or want more time. Like, man, come on.
Yeah.
So wow. Probably a good spot to end it.
It probably is. you know, I'm looking forward to, I think maybe even on the future ones, we should set up some of these scenarios, because I think the scenarios are great.
Let's do it.
I may even set them up, and I love seeing you on the spot, because you do flow like that so well. So, you know, Aaron, I think you probably, you know, we started off thinking about a singular potential sales mistake, and you had a couple of just great scenarios to be able to walk through for people to think about. And, you know, that's a great representation, too, of why people should be consistently listening to this podcast, the more that they can learn from it. And I'm thankful to be a part of it. And if you're out there and you're thankful, go ahead, like this channel. Go ahead and like Sparking Success. Share it with somebody. You know, it doesn't take much time to just copy and paste that link to send it to somebody out there. And we would feel humbled if you did. Aaron, again, thanks for sharing a ton of wisdom today.
Thanks, CJ. Have a good day, all.